In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The true God, the living God, is a jealous God. And He does not want His people looking for help or comfort in any other place than in His arms. That's because He alone can help and comfort us in our deepest needs. And so the tests, they do come. God sends our way trials, troubles, heartaches, and problems galore, our own and the troubles of those whom we love. By the trial and the troubles that are too big for us to handle on our own, our God would train us in blessed dependence on Him. That's what's going on in our readings for today. In the first reading, we see the Israelites in the wilderness shortly after they had been miraculously delivered from bondage in Egypt. They had witnessed the mighty and miraculous hand of God in dishing out the 10 plagues on the Egyptians, parting the Red Sea for their escape, and leading them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They should have learned to trust in their Lord. They should have believed in faith that He would provide for all of their needs. But they failed the test. Their earthly needs got the best of them, and their hungry bellies caused them to grumble and complain against the Lord who had done so much for them. So, God provided miraculous food to sustain them, sending manna from heaven in the morning and quail in the evening, not only because He is gracious and merciful, a loving God, but also to train them to depend solely on Him, knowing and believing that He will provide. Our Lord Jesus picks up on the same thought in the Holy Gospel. There He teaches Philip and Andrew and all His disciples and you and me where to look when the problem is too big and we are too puny. The crowds had surrounded Him and more people kept streaming in. They came to hear Jesus and to see the signs that He did. They came bringing aunts with cancer and nephews with epilepsy. They brought to Him those who had given up hope. And as He looks over the crowds, He tosses a problem in Philip's lap. Where shall we get food for them to eat? A pressing problem. Not a McDonald's or Burger King in sight. And still the people poured in, an ever-flooding number of people coming to see the Lord Jesus. Philip begins to sweat. With a gulp, he confesses that not even 200 denarii, 6 months' wages, would be enough to give everyone a bite. Andrew chimes in that they do have a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish, but certainly not enough for this crowd. Do you see what the disciples forgot to do? They forgot to do what the Israelites in the wilderness forgot to do. Like them, they failed the test, for they forgot to depend solely on the Lord. When Jesus throws us a problem, He's not so much interested in how we can rack our brains trying to solve it, as He is in how fast we've learned to toss it back to Him. Jesus shows them and us. He tells the crowds to sit. He takes the bread and the fish, lifts His eyes to the Heavenly Father, blesses Him for His goodness, and then hands out the food to the disciples for them to pass on to the crowd. Andrew was surely thinking, he's lost it this time. There's no way this is going to work. And Philip was probably thinking, this is the silliest idea he's ever had. All of them were thinking like that as they began to break off grudging little chunks and hand them into the empty hands of the hungry crowds. How long did it take before they saw? How long before they realized and hope and astonishment welled up within them in their hearts. For no matter how much was broken off and given away, they still had more to give. They couldn't distribute it faster than the Lord multiplied it in their hands. You can see them look back at Him with fear in their eyes and awe and love. And I imagine that He just smiled right back at them. The smile would have said it all. Do you get it now? Do you understand? When the problem's too big, turn to the one who is bigger than any problem. Turn to me. I will get you through. Just trust in me. You see, friends, when the squeeze is on, when the trouble is brewing, when you feel that you can't take it one more day, Jesus comes to you and places His finger under your chin and gently lifts your head until you are looking at Him in the eye and says, "There. Now don't look anywhere else." And as we keep our eyes focused on Him, we experience the help, the relief, the rescue, and so we know peace, true peace, real peace, the only peace there is. Oh, it still may be hard, very hard, to get through the tough times, but with Jesus, it won't be impossible. The problem, of course, is that we far too often fail to keep our eyes on Jesus. We fail to realize that He sends trials and troubles into our lives to test us and to train us to depend solely on Him. We'll get ourselves out of our own messes, we think. Or worse, we mope around in self-pity and grumble and complain against the Lord and His servants, for our hearts and minds are far too often focused on the things of this world instead of on the things of God. Repent. That's what this season of Lent is about. Repent this day. Turn from your grumbling. Let go of your pride, your greed, your lust for earthly pleasures that just simply pass away. Let go of your stubbornness, your sin. Stop wanting things your way and start learning to cling to the Lord's way. And quit blaming all of your troubles on others and start looking in the mirror of God's law to see your own sinfulness. If you are letting yourself get bogged down by conflict at home, in the workplace, or in the church, it is probably because you are not willing to resolve that conflict, but would rather revel in it. Repent. Start being the Christians you confess and claim to be. You need an object lesson? Then look at the first Christian church in Jerusalem, as we read about in our second lesson. What did they do? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Those first Christians knew where to find the answer to all their trials and troubles in life: in God's house, through the proclamation of His holy word and the deliverance of His blessed sacraments. They found the sustenance they needed to journey through the wilderness of this sinful world in the divine service, where their Lord came to be in their presence to bestow upon them His wondrous gifts, His eternal gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation through His holy word and sacraments. so overjoyed were they to find this divine sustenance that they freely gave of all that was theirs to any who had need. They praised God not only with their lips, but also with obedient lives, fully supporting His mission, and He blessed them immensely in return. Would that it be the same with us, dear friends. It is the same with the Lord. He continues to come to be in our presence right here in His holy house to deliver His gifts to us, to take care of all our trials and troubles in life. Here, He provides the sustenance we need from font, pulpit, and altar. For here, the One who lived, died, and rose for us dwells among us to give us what we really need, deliverance from sin, death, and the devil. He miraculously multiplies Himself, delivering into our mouths His very body and blood, so that we may rest our weary load on Him and experience genuine refreshment. He comes not to fix or take away all of our earthly woes, but to prepare us for life in eternity with Him. So come, dear friends, come in repentance and faith and receive what the Lord provides. Let us echo the words of the psalmist saying, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" And let us follow in the footsteps of our ancestors in the first Christian church in Jerusalem, realizing in faith that here in the Lord's holy house is where we receive all that we need. And then, like them, let us respond to the Lord's blessings with faithful generosity, giving our first fruits, not our leftovers or what we can spare, to support His mission, that He may bless our congregation and add to our number those who are being saved. God grant this for Jesus' sake, in His holy and precious name. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.